good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, I've said this over and over again, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count.
Little Moments Count is a statewide collaboration focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create the pathways that build a child's brain during their early stages of life.
For more information, you can visit Little Moments Count. .org. Wendy, did you notice I gave you the longer ones to read?
Yeah, I noticed that. That's okay.
Hey, we're fired up. The fair is happening here, and I thought it was 2 weeks
from
now.
Tomorrow.
I thought it was 2 weeks.
And 1 week from tomorrow.
Red alert. Robert. Red alert. Red
alert. Count the days. There's not too many sleeps left.
Uh-oh. I don't know. I'm so excited. I don't know if I can sleep.
Mm.
Well,
we have a lot to do.
I can always sleep.
In those short time.
Hey, let's get with the news with Ogama. We got a great show. We're having Barb Faber on, and she's the CEO of Indigenous Visions and All Nations Rise, and she's going to talk to us about Little Moments Count today. And so we're excited to have her on, and now we're really excited to have Ogama on with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, Wendy.
Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I just wanted to touch base, too, that Barb Faber is going to be talking about an Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative pilot program today, which is really exciting. Oh. And for those of you that are watching online, I want to just say it out loud for the people who might be listening, that the littlemomentscount.org website has this really awesome thing where you can sign up for Think Small Parent-Powered Text. They are totally free, and what you do is you get 3 texts per week on how to make the most of those little moments in your life with your child, like grocery shopping or bath time or bedtime, those kinds of things. If you want to get those texts like I do, you can text the letters LMC to 70138. You can use code LMCESP to receive the text in Spanish and LMCSOM for Somali. Again, text LMC to 70138 and you can get some really awesome and easy to follow Think Small Parent Power text from Little Moments Count. In other news, I want to remind people that as we're coming up to the Minnesota State Fair, which starts August 25th, that following weekend, I believe it's the following weekend, 2 weekends after the State Fair starts, Sunday, September 4th is the Waters Life Festival at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth, Minnesota. Headlining the event is Ani DeFranco, the Indigo Girls, Allison Russell, Tia Wood, Lowe, local rapper and wonderful musician Dessa, plus Annie Humphrey, David Huckfeldt, Keith Sakola. The whole event's going to be emceed by Thomas X, and the host is actually Winona LaDuc of Honor the Earth. So we were live at the Waters Life Festival with Native Roots Radio last year, but this year we'll be live at the State Fair around the same time. But if you want to go to the Waters Life Festival at Bayfront Festival Park in Duluth, Minnesota on Sunday, September 4th, you can get your tickets at first-avenue.com. If you use the code WaterProtector, all one word, you can get a special discount. So just letting everybody know that's coming up. Another thing to save on your calendar is the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center Red Dress Gala, which is coming up on September 9th of 2022. It's going to be at the Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront Hotel from 5:30 to 10 p.m. Save the date for that event. Other events that are coming up in the Twin Cities community this weekend, Robert, I think we touched base with her fairly recently, but the Brooke LaFleur from Ninjani's One-on-Ones is hosting a People's Weekend Basketball Expo starting this weekend in the Twin Cities, and that's going to have community performances from 7 to 8 p.m. with Keto, Two for One, the youth performer Dakota LaFleur, Hokamaza singer Sean Smith, Robert Henry Jr., and Chaske Henry, as well as dance performances from Laurel and Misko Gimiwan, which we know Misko. And Chaske, right?
And Laurel. And Robert.
You know all of them, right? They're all former students of yours, Robert.
And Brooke and his brother. Brooke went
and
to Johnson.
And employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that looks like it's going to be a great event. Again, it's Indigenous Peoples Weekend Basketball Expo happening in the Twin Cities. And it's, I believe, coming up soon here. And it looks like they're planning for – sorry, I'm double-checking the date for when it is going to be here.
I think it's October 8th.
I don't see the date on the poster.
I think it's October 8th.
You think it's October 8th. Okay, so that's coming up October 8th. And I think I said this weekend, so forgive me, guys. I am not looking at the correct event, I think. But anyway, that is coming up, and that's going to be a really exciting event. I got to talk with Keto at another event earlier this year for NPR, and we just had Keto on last week, right, Robert?
Yes, we did. Testing my memory, but yes, we did.
Yes, we did. It's exciting. Another event, I guess it's not an event, but it's something that I want people to be aware of because they sent us an email about this, and I think this is something that a lot of people really should be talking about more. The White Earth Tribal and Community College is having a summer 2022 cohort, and they're going to have the opportunity for people to meet with paramedic and emergency teams at the Manoman County Airport. And that's coming up Saturday, August 13th. Where am I here? They have fall trainings for 2022 at the White Earth Nation Tribal College. The fall trainings include trainings for certified nursing assistant, child development associate, special boiler operator license, and solar photovoltaic course and internship. They are accepting applications for fall 2022. The deadline is September 6th, and you can possibly be eligible for a Pathways to Prosperity grant and take these trainings free of charge. You have to be 18 years of age, not currently attending K through 12, self-identify as part of any minority group, have a lack of stable housing, or be an individual with disabilities, or have unemployment for 15 or more weeks, or below 200% of the FPG or federal poverty guidelines. So there's a few different ways that you can qualify for the Pathways to Prosperity grant and attend the White Earth Tribal Community College to get training in those different areas. If you are interested and want to apply, contact the Customized Education Department at 218-935-8326 or philip.devries, that's DEVRIES, at WETCC.EDU. That stands for White Earth Tribal Technical and Community College. So that is a really big upcoming opportunity for our relatives, Robert, those of us who would like to get educations and those kinds of things. And I think one of the last things that I want to hit before we change subjects is actually a run that's happening in honor of Orange Shirt Day, which is coming up here on September 30th. Accomplished athlete Danica Burr is going to embark on a 108-mile endurance run for strength, spirit, healing, and to raise awareness for our relatives that never made it home. She's departing Twin Buttes, North Dakota at about 1 a.m. and should be arriving at about 6 p.m. In Bismarck, North Dakota. Again, it's a 108-mile run that she's doing solo in honor of Orange Shirt Day.
Hey, that's hard for me to drive that much in a day. That's amazing. Yeah. Hey, one quick thing before we go, and I just want to remind everyone, Reservation Dogs has dropped another show, so that's everybody watch it all together here, and we'll talk about it next week, all right? Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Course Breaks helps provide free digital textbooks to college students in underserved communities. But how does it work? Course Breaks works with a network of publishers that provide free digital textbooks to students with sponsorships covering the cost. These textbooks have been used in thousands of colleges and universities. And Course Breaks is currently being offered in all tribal colleges and universities and historically black colleges and universities. To discuss a corporate or private contribution, visit CourseBreaks.com.
Don't fall for vaccine misinformation. Local medical professionals are available to answer any of your questions. Initial shots and boosters are safe for people who are pregnant and even young children. Right now, vaccines are available for anyone over 6 months of age, while boosters are available for anyone over the age of 5. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Native Roots Radio is excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count to host conversations focused on early childhood development. We'll be welcoming monthly guests to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities.
Well, I guess a month's gone by and we're going to have Barb on again. We've had Barb on earlier, I guess maybe 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Barb, please introduce yourselves to our vast audience. We've just picked up another 30 stations in Wisconsin, so we'll have to redo everybody else's. They don't know who we are yet, so let them know who you are, Barb.
Okay. Oh, bonjour. Happy to. Thank you for having me on here. And I am Barb Faber, CEO of Indigenous Visioning and president of All Nations Rise.
That's awesome. And we discussed, I know last time we've discussed a few things about early childhood, about, I remember talking a little bit about, you know, how two languages really put those wires together, reading to people, in reading to our little ones. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I was hoping to talk about one of our initiatives that we started. And it's for Indian Country. It's the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative. Mm-hmm. And it's based off the National Parent Leadership Training Institute, which is a westernized curriculum for parent leadership. But of course, being Native and being from Indian Country, we wanted to make sure that it was relatable to tribal communities. So we indigenized it for our people.
That's awesome. So you put some of our teachings in there, some things like that. And I know
people feel
really more comfortable with that way of learning. So that's really exciting. So tell us a little bit more about IPLI, you know, and how did it come about?
It came about when I was invited to a national children's defense event. And I met people at this event, and they were amazing people with all different backgrounds and experiences. And one particular woman I met really, she really helped me understand it and how transformative it was. She had lost everything. She, you know, of course, got into the drugs, just went down the wrong path, lost her children, lost her job, her house, just about everything, living on the streets. And it wasn't until she came across the National Parent Leadership Initiative that really transformed her. And, you know, when I met her, she had everything back, and she was back on track with everything. But that's how transformative this process really is for parents.
I know it's really important to have somebody go through what she did in order to tell her story to other people that maybe feel hopeless. Don't you agree? And is there more people like that out there that can really amplify that story about how well this program works?
Yes. And like I said, and we didn't know. I had a parent. I administered a parent mentor program at the time when I worked for my tribe. And so I brought a parent with me, and we were both just blown away with this concept. You know, parents' opinions are often unheard, and sometimes they do not have the advocacy skills or the institutional knowledge needed to bring about change, you know, and so they're left feeling hopeless about doing anything. And so the National Parent Leadership Training Institute, they define the parent leadership as the capacity to interact within civic society with purpose and positive outcomes for children. So this is basically, it's to help build up the parent and empower the parent, but in the end, it also helps them in their relationship with their children.
Wow, that's awesome, Barb. What kind of specific skills would a participant learn in this program?
Yeah, well, the first part, it's a 20-week cohort or 21-week with a retreat. And what they do is the first part of it is they learn about the child development. And so the why things are so important to the developing brain and the developing child. And then they build off their advocacy and leadership skills. And many don't realize they even have it. So they really work on building that up. And then they provide them a civic engagement component. So they understand how governments work, both state, federal, state, and tribal, of course. And that's, again, how we indigenized it for Indian countries. We included the tribal government component.
Hey, we're talking to Barb Faber, and she's talking about Little Moments Count, and you can get more information at littlemomentscount.org. Who can attend this program?
Anybody, really. Anybody within the tribal community. It's really important that they commit to the 21 weeks. You know, the first 10 sessions are on parent leadership and self-perception. You know, then the next 10 is civic change, government, and policy. And then throughout those courses, there's also Indigenous Cultural Foundation that was created in collaboration with Dr. Anton Troyer and elders. So we asked elders what was important to parents, or what they felt would be important for parents to understand in, you know, from our culture. With some of them, you know, like myself included, we didn't have the pleasure of or the benefit of growing up in a very strong cultural teaching, or, you know, within our home because of the boarding school era, of course. So we asked elders what they felt was a good foundation. And so they really helped define that. Dr. Troyer, created a beautiful, beautiful cultural foundation. And so they get that every week in addition to these other. And it's anybody, any parent who maybe just wants to be involved. We have parents who, you know, have been through the system. And, it's just been a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's so important. And it's great to have, like you say, the indigenous part of this, because, you know, our generation, I'm really excited about this next generation, because they're really working on the language and the culture. I'm so proud of so many young people that I've come across over the years. And my generation and our generation is kind of the lost one, because, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. with the boarding schools.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the cultural Indigenous Foundation is based on the Ojibwe seasons. And so, you know, we talk about tobacco, we talk about naming, clans, spring harvest, culture, you know, in the games, the traditional games. So it's every, they're getting everything that relates to that season, ceremonies for coming of age, summer harvest, things like that. So they're really, things that they're learning are also very relatable. Some things they've done, maybe heard, are from, you know, elders and their grandparents. So it's all relatable. And from what I understand, and I'm hoping that we'll have a parent on here so you could be able to ask questions for themselves, but it's really transforming these parents that are going through this.
So Ogama has a great question. Is it in person or online, or is it both? How can somebody maybe from not up north, or is it just in person?
It is just in person. Of course, we try to do this during COVID, so yeah. We're, you know, a little bit behind schedule. We had to wait until it was safe to be in person. Mm-hmm. We do have a few that are virtual, but it's really an in-person process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good to know.
How do people mm-hmm. sign up for this?
We actually did some marketing throughout the tribe, and parents applied for it. And then parents, we had an Indigenous core team that reviewed our civic team, who reviewed all the applications, and then parents were interviewed. So we will have another cohort coming up in White Earth, and mm-hmm. so we're hoping that we'll have a lot more applications.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you so much for stopping by. Remember, littlemomentscount.org. Thank you so much, Barb.
Miigwech. Gigawapamin.
Ahu. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Come see the Native Roots Trading Post at the West End Market of the Minnesota State Fair. Native Roots Trading Post is Native owned and operated. Shop goods from local and national Native artists that you'll love instantly. Native Roots Trading Post is supporting Native artists this year at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th to September 5th. Native Roots Trading Post, we support Native artists and you can too. Buy Native at the Native Roots Trading Post this year at the Minnesota State Fair.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
This is Santita Jackson, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, my name is Pamela Topchian. I'm a former nurse, published author, and board-certified hypnotherapist with HypnoBreakthrough.com. Do you feel stuck in a rut? Finding yourself wondering if this is all there is to life? Tired of just existing? HypnoBreakthrough can help you to reduce stress, release fears, gain confidence, and reach your life's goals holistically, mindfully, and gently. So I ask you, what changes would you like to see in your life? Let's talk about it. Contact me, Pamela Topchian, board-certified hypnotherapist, to schedule your free consultation, which includes a complimentary stress-reducing sample session, so you can see how it feels for yourself before any commitments are made. Go to HypnoBreakthrough.com for all the information. That's HypnoBreakthrough.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 64. Thursday, a chance for thunderstorms with a high near 80. And Friday, more rain with a high around 75. The Great Wall Restaurant in Edina provides an extensive Chinese menu with an emphasis on Szechuan and Peking cuisine. Some of the favorites include the sesame chicken, cream cheese wonton, and Szechuan duck with walnuts. Located just north of 50th and France on the Edina-Minneapolis border, dine in or order takeout at greatwalledina.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and it's one of our favorite days of the week, and we have Robert Blake from Solar Bear with the Solar News, and I know there's a lot of bills being signed and things happening out there that are going to really help us out in Indian country, so I was really excited to see Bob and be able to come on. Bob, do you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got that. Right on. Really cool Yeti microphone. Morgan Stanley sent me, Robert.
Yeah, I thought he was dead, but I guess it sounds like he's still alive, huh?
Yeah, it's actually, it's this woman who does this podcast with communities across the country trying to promote what they're doing. And she was this very successful trader at Morgan Stanley. And she put together some type of community fund to invest in these communities and stuff. And she highlights people from all over the country on her podcast. And she heard about the work that I was doing here in Minnesota. And she just really thought it was really cool. And she got her people to get a hold of me. And we did the podcast.
And it sounds
really good. I don't know when it's going to drop, though. I don't know when they're going to air it, though.
Well, let us know and we'll promote it. And also what it's really done is made this segment really sound good with you and your microphone. So peeny geeky to whoever that lady was that is related to Morgan Stanley.
I'll have to remember her name, but I did the podcast when I was up in Oregon for the electric vehicle technology conference. But yeah, that's really cool. But Robert, what I want to talk about tonight on the Solar News with the Solar Bear is the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes.
And how that is going to really be a game changer for this country, especially when it deals with clean energy and just in general how it's going to reduce carbon and make the climate better for us. And people, this is a great, great thing that just happened. Obviously, it doesn't fix the problem, but this is a great start, Robert. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this.
The timing was great, and finally, the national news is all of a sudden talking about the Colorado River, you know, which we've been talking about and hearing about for a long time, where it's the lakes are drying up and the dams are going, you know, it's going back to the original way it was, and But it's great that we're starting this process because it's only the beginning, and there's going to be a lot of money out there for Indian country.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is, I mean, for, solar and those renewable energy projects, I mean, this is going to be very successful. One of the most profitable types of projects that, you know, you can be developing too, is going to be energy projects on tribal land. So I want everyone that's listening to get to your tribal council, get to your tribal leaders, and tell them that they have to be a part of this, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I know that our reach goes down to Chicago, down to Kansas City, down to other communities. Right. I know there's a lot of natives. They contact me on Facebook. They're joining me as friends. And I'm letting all of you know that you have to contact your leaders in your tribal nations to tell them to be a part of this and start creating clean energy projects and start creating jobs, economic development, using adaptation, mitigation, resiliency strategies in your communities to start preparing for climate change.
Yeah, perfect. And I just had a small meeting with a couple people with my nation too, that we're really looking at it, because a lot of people in California too are getting a lot of money to put those big lakes or whatever they're called, those big 1,000-acre, 100-watt stations out there, and making money for their nation too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is that what's really exciting about this is that tribal nations in the future, you know, because of the ability to generate now, right, their own energy on their land, now being able to distribute it, right, Robert? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see tribal nations like down the road forming their own little, you know, I mean, their own buying and selling on our lines, right? And and that's what's exciting. And plus these jobs are so technical that the education behind them is, you know, you more of our tribal members will be able to get this great technical, this great knowledge. And just think about what that's going to do to our community and the opportunities that our kids are going to see, you know, and it's just a really trickle effect.
Right on. And finally, we are trickling the correct way, in a good way. Unlike we grew up with Ronnie Reagan and the trickle down, we know that doesn't work, because nations, as we like to talk about, Robert, is that we trickle up to our membership. We give back to our people, and that's what's great about our economic model.
Well, and Robert, I mean, when you look at this bill, you know, that just got signed, I mean, it lowers healthcare costs for seniors, right? Caps mm-hmm. them at $2,000 a year, right? I mean, now seniors don't have to be like driving across the border to Canada. I mean, this is important, you know? And then now they're saying that this is going to create, you know, over 100,000 companies because of the tax code now. And I mean, this is what's really exciting about this act. And not to mention all of the opportunities that are in here around climate change mitigation strategies, you know, for communities such as like, you know, being able to upgrade your home with insulation, with windows. Think about all those like local jobs, Robert, that is going to create, right? And then there's going to be a trickle effect, right? You know, and then our supply chain, right? There's so many things that go along with this that this is unbelievable that they got this done. And I'm sorry, I criticized Joe Manchin so many times here. I have criticized this man so many times.
I still do.
I got to tell you, Joe Manchin, thank you for, you know, seeing what needs to be done here. Because, I mean, without him, this wouldn't have got passed.
Right. And that's sad to say. So we really need to rock the vote and get voters out there. So there's not a one person holding up everything, Wendy. I mean, we need five or six more seats so we can really make things happen. Because as you were talking, Robert, I was thinking two things that would really change the world right now economically, too, is healthcare and also removing school debt, you know, get rid of that, get rid of those payments, and people, young people can buy houses again and, you know, instead of paying their mortgage on all this school loan debt.
Yeah. And Robert, think about the bailout that all the big companies got, right?
Right.
Like, after the housing crisis, which they created, right? I mean, it only seems fair that, you know, that you can definitely cancel out this debt for the millions of college students across the country who are then going to put that towards their own community by buying homes and, you know, doing other things that are going to stimulate the economy. And a lot of these people have taken out this debt to become school counselors, school teachers, but they can't be school teachers right now because they got to pay their debt off. And we know that we have a teacher shortage right now. And so this would be really smart to do this. I think it's just smart policy all the way around. We've got the people in there right now. Like, they just need to do it. And as you say, Robert, there's another election coming up here. We need to get more people that are progressive in there that are going to think like this and that are going to make the right decisions for the people.
Hey, Robert and Wendy, I think Biden does not get the there's a few things that he's messed up on as far as I'm concerned, but you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And even, you know, the media out there is not talking about this, but he's getting so much done in his first 2 years. It's amazing. And he's not getting, you know, the credit. He's getting, you know, the mass media is talking about him and gas prices, like he has control over that. And it was not just this country, but it was worldwide where the gas prices were so high.
Yeah, I mean, what is that, right? Like, I mean, and think about all the, you know, when you look at this IRA Act, right, all the money that's going in here to create charging stations, to create every 50 miles, Robert, on interstate highways, they're going to create fast chargers. This is incredible. Like, this is unbelievable. I mean, you're looking at car manufacturers, the big three. Mm-hmm. They have orders that they can't even fulfill of Americans that want to buy vehicles. I'm sorry, but the politicians need to get it through their thick heads. They're not buying their spiel about this gas thing. You know what I mean? Like Americans know they're going to electric vehicles, and this is going to happen, Robert.
Well, not only the Americans, but these businesses that are making them, you know, they need tax breaks in order for them to maybe build some more places to make these machines that only run on natural energy and get more out there, you know, do the old Model T thing and let's get some more competition out there with some tax breaks, like you were saying.
And Robert, you know what the geniuses of this bill, right, is that it promotes the ability to go ahead and give the tax deductions to the batteries and the manufacturers that are going to be doing the work right here in the United States. Now, you know what that's going to do to the market? Because foreign vehicles are going to have to compete. They're going to lower their prices. So you know what that's going to do? Market forces are going to take over, and the vehicles are going to get more and more affordable for everyone. So they're not going to be like these 100,000 Teslas anymore. You know what I mean? It's going right. to be just like $20,000-$30,000 cars like we have right now.
And they last. And they last forever too, because those parts don't wear out. And you can use my calculator story on your next speech too, or your next.
I do have to use the calculator speech. Hey, listen, I want to send a big shout out to Sherry Smith listening to us out in Massachusetts. She is a big fan of Native Roots and all that is solar. And she was tuning in tonight and let me know that she was going to be listening to us tonight. So hello, Sherry. Thank you for listening to us. And Miigwech, Robert, for having the Solar Bear on with the Solar News.
Perfect. What a great segment. Thank you so much, Robert. We'll see you next week. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break, Wendy, with
Sacred Animal Section.
All right.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
College textbooks have never been more expensive. In fact, textbook costs can make college unaffordable to many prospective students. That's especially true for Native Americans. But a new initiative called Course Breaks wants to help with textbook costs for Native American students. Course Breaks partners with book publishers and tribal colleges and universities to provide free textbooks. But Course Breaks needs your help to continue their mission. Become a donor to help Indigenous students continue their education. To discuss a corporate or private contribution, visit CourseBreaks.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she's had a segment on Native Roots Radio for over 6 years. I don't know. We've been on 6 years and nine months.
Wow.
Is that right?
I have no idea. I don't keep count.
And
time flies when you're having fun.
And you started out with like a two-minute segment.
Once a week.
Yeah. And then it went to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it's a whole segment.
That's right.
So what do you got for us tonight? Yeah. You know, we had a sad thing happen this morning in our backyard.
I'm going to talk about that. So, hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level here in Minnesota. So today, we have a lot of animals in our backyard. We live in the cities, in St. Paul, It's very urban here, but we have a nice big tree, two big trees in our backyard, and we have a duck house. But the ducks don't live in the duck house. There's a couple of squirrels that live in the duck house. And, you know, I throw out seeds and peanuts and keep fresh water out there for the animals. And it's kind of like a menagerie back there. You know, we get all kinds of wildlife. We've seen raccoons back there.
Possums,
rabbits, all kinds of birds. They come to eat the seeds and the squirrels.
Black crows,
yep. Yeah, so it's kind of nice. I like, you know, if I'm in the kitchen and I'm doing dishes or whatever, I just like looking out the window and seeing all the wildlife and kind of just watching it. But this morning when I got up, I was just about to let the dogs out the back door, and I noticed a squirrel laying across our little walkway in the backyard. And I was like, oh, no, he's dead. Like, it just looked, you know, like he was dead. He wasn't moving at all. As soon as I jiggled the handle on the door to go out to check it out, it moved. So I knew it was still alive. And then I yelled for Robert because I was just freaked out. I was like, oh, my God, come and see the squirrel.
And then I freaked out.
What do I do? Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Let's just, you know, get it into a crate. So we went outside. We have a crate in our, you know, we have crates around because we have animals around all the time. So don't ask me why. I put some rubber gloves on, you know, the kind that you wash the dishes with, and I just grabbed the back of the neck of the squirrel and put him right in the crate. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky here in St. Paul because we have a really awesome wildlife, the Roseville Rehabilitation Center here, and it's in Roseville. And they take all kinds of wild animals, right? So over the years, I can't even count how many squirrels I've brought over there. I've brought rabbits. I brought a bat, which I'm going to talk about too. But
I forgot about
Remember that? Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I got the squirrel, and I mean, I hadn't even like had coffee in the morning. I didn't brush my teeth or my hair. I just grabbed the squirrel and I brought him over to the rehabilitation center. And this is the first time when I was there. That there was a line of people bringing in wildlife. There were like three or four other squirrels. There were two possums, a couple of birds, and people were bringing in these injured wildlife. And what they do here at the rehabilitation center is just what it says. It really rehabilitates these animals and sets them back out into the wild. And it's really an awesome place. So,
yeah. What do you do if you don't have that?
I said that, you know, to the people. I said to the people online there, I was like, if we didn't have this place, how much suffering would go on? It would just be horrible. And then they give you sign in and you give them your information. Mm-hmm. And then they give you a little card. So like the squirrel's information, like tomorrow I'll be able to go online, put the number in, and they'll give me an update on what happened to this particular squirrel that I brought in. Mm-hmm. And they're very transparent. You know, if they have to put the animal to sleep or the animal died, they're going to tell you. They're not going to tell you a fairy story that the animal did great and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go online and check it out because we have these duck houses and we have the squirrels. We have a little swimming pool in the back. You weren't supposed to say that, but yeah, it's like one of those little plastic things. I don't fill it up all the way because I don't want anybody to drown. So there's like a rock. There's a rock in there and stuff. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But anyway, this is even weirder, Robert.
All right,
this is what I said to the woman there. I said, you know, we have the squirrel lives in the duck house in our tree. And I'm like, I know he's not my squirrel, but he's kind of my squirrel. And I just said, if he does well, would you be able to call me and let me know and I'll come and pick him up? I'll come and pick him up and I'll bring him home. And she kind of smirked and smiled and giggled at me. And she just said, well, you know, that's not our policy. We have a group of volunteers. We have your address, so we know where the squirrel should go. So we will bring the squirrel to the, you know, around where you took it from. So I said, all right. But I would have went to pick him up,
right,
you know, when he was okay. You know, after I, you know, picked up the squirrel and put him in the thing, I was like, I wonder if that was like the total wrong thing to do.
Oh.
So I went on the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center of Minnesota's website, and they give you tips to safely contain an animal.
Huh.
But at the time, when you see the animal sitting there, you're not going to go and, like, you know, Google it, like, how do I lift up this animal? So they give you hints and tips on how to do this. I think everybody should maybe have a little idea about what you should do. So it says, you know, find a container with a lid that you can secure and punch holes in the lid.
Huh.
Now, a lot of the people on the line had the animals like in little shoe boxes, right? They had little shoe boxes with holes in it. If it's a small non-rabies vector animal, drop a kitchen towel or a hand towel over the animal, gently pick it up and place it in the box with the towel and secure the lid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was close. I used rubber gloves and I put them in a crate, a little carrying crate that I take Lucy to the vet with every week. And by the way, those towels I threw away because you never know. The squirrel might have had fleas and stuff, right? So I just threw them away. And then I put the towel over the squirrel so he wouldn't, you know, he'd be in the dark. He wouldn't be too scared. But if it's a larger animal, set the box or transport tub on its side next to the animal. Using your snow shovel, gently nudge or slide the animal into the box. Then slowly tilt the box upright so the animal gently slides to the bottom of it. And then place a towel in the box with the animal to help reduce stress during the transport, and then secure the lid. So that's a good way to do it for a larger animal.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that wasn't really sure about. If it's an animal that can cause you physical harm, like a heron, I didn't know a heron could cause physical, or a loon. It says loon is on the list.
Wow.
Or a loon, swans. Yes, I've been chased by a swan. Or a fox. Like a fox, I could say, could give you physical harm. But a heron, loon, swans, and foxes. We're happy to help you determine the best approach over the phone, so you could call them. And you could also call your city's non-emergency police number and ask for assistance in containing the animal. They may not bring it to the rehabilitation center, but you should offer to transport it when you can. So, yeah. So that's that was my adventure today with the squirrel. I'm going to check online and see how the little squirrely's doing.
Yeah, definitely. So that is an amazing story. I kind of relived it. It was really kind of a sad.
Do I have time to tell you quickly about the bat?
10 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, I brought the bat in, and they determined that the bat was skinny and died of malnutrition because people use too many pesticides and there's not enough bugs for the bat to eat.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, you've been listening to the Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Pini Gigi for our guests Barb and Ogama with the news and Wendy with the sacred animal section.
See you tomorrow. Free Leonard Peltier.